Now, tell you what. There's chairs up here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 chairs. At least, so you folk at the back, come on up. Don't be bashful. I'm not going to hurt anybody, especially this morning. I think I'm a little too weak and tired. The rest of you sit down and enjoy yourselves. That's good. I won't strain my voice this way. Not that I won't yell anyway, because I always forget myself. Preachers get certain bad habits. And I've had my bad habits for, almost half a century. And I'm not about to stop them. So you've got no choice but to bear with me, I guess, at this particular time. But it's better if you're up front, if you can possibly come up closer. That'd be much, much better for me. So just come on right along. There's more chairs here. It would be real comfortable. And this is about the size of the crowd I like. You may think I'm one of those preachers that like to preach to hundreds. You're wrong. I preach to thousands, and I just go completely out into outer space. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't mind a couple of hundred even, but you get in the 400 class, and you're a little bit too ritzy for me. You might not believe that, but I'm telling you the truth. I don't mind sermons going out on tape to thousands, and anything I write is fine by me, but don't ask me to talk to thousands. Not that I'm modest. I'm stupid and scared. No confidence in the flesh. Except I know what I eat's going to go to fat. In other words, in the head or in someplace else. Well, that's wonderful. Sure glad you're here this morning, and that makes it very nice and homey. And if it gets warm, we've got an air conditioner that'll put some cool air out here. And it isn't too loud. There's a silent feature on it that maybe you wish I had on me. But you ain't going to be that lucky. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, it's so good to be here with your people. A nice little group here, Lord, and we're so grateful to be counted amongst the folk here as one of them, and they one with us, and by faith one all together with you, which we know by the word that's absolutely true, for this is that hour when they are one, that the people can say, I and my Father are one, and we know that had to happen sometime. We believe it's that hour, and we believe we're that people. We're very grateful to you for this hope we have within us, this earnest expectation, Lord, which is manifested at this hour. So, Father, may we have a time together of rejoicing in your word and your presence. Teach us, lead us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, I was on the phone the other day to Brother Evans, and I admit this is more my fault than your fault, so don't feel bad. And we were talking about the message I brought this Sunday that I left the other little place over there. And I said, Brother Evans, I'm willing to bet. Now, don't use the word bet. I'm willing to produce $20,000 for the first person who can name 7 of the 11 points I brought and why he is here. I feel perfectly happy with myself that there's not one of you going to get me to go to the bank and borrow some money to make up the difference if there's a difference between the two bank accounts I got. Because you can't do it. And furthermore, it would take me a little head scratching to name all the 11 also. Now, I realized that we were under a strain the last time, and whatever you learned that day, it worked out that you would forget what I had said. Now, we're going to start over again. We're going to take the same message, and we'll take our time with it. If when I get so far, I will quit. But I want to, from now on, utilize all our time together to just talk to you in the realm of a teaching ministry, and to literally bring out the best I possibly can, what I have in my mind, what I see in Scripture, and will give you also the opportunity to discuss it. Now, this will not put us into utopia. This will not put us into heaven. Because unless the Lord quickens His Word, look, it's just a word. When God said, let there be light, if He didn't have the power to dynamize the word, which word was light, and bring it into production, just a word. I could ask you today, what is light? You can't really tell me. Nobody can. Nobody really knows. Well, you say, scientifically, we have studied, and we can bring forth definitions and understanding and even actually bring forth light ourselves. Wonderful. But who put the materials there? Who is it that keeps everything in law and order? So really, we come to the understanding that unless God himself reveals, puts things in the light, which is a revelation, nothing will transpire which is vital to us in the realm of salvation. I'll just show you this here, and we'll take our time this morning, and we're not going to fuss about anything. We're just going to try to be real home folk and get down to business. Now, John 3:16 is perhaps the greatest verse in the Bible according to the people who believe in salvation through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then it tells you what it's all about. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, that tells you a little bit about verse 16. Now, verse 17 goes further, 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Now, watch the switch. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Now, see, right there it doesn't tell you that God loved the world, everybody's scot-free. It lays down the condition. The condition is believing. See? Now, when you get so far in the believing, it tells you, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, hold it. Now, hold it right there. It says God gave his Son as a blood sacrifice. And it says you believe on him or you don't believe on him before the blood sacrifice works. Now it goes even further, and it doesn't just say you believe on him for the blood sacrifice. It believes in the name. Now you got to contend with the name. So it's not just God sent his Son, hallelujah, we're all scot-free. See? Now what is the name you believe in? He said, I came in my Father's name, and you don't believe. Now, if you tell me this morning he's different. He isn't different. He came in his Father's name. What is his Father's name? Well, now we've got to go back to the Father. Now, let's go a little further. And this is the condemnation. Now, what? He said he's condemned that doesn't believe. Now, it tells you what disbelief is. This is the condemnation that light has come into the world. Now, hold it. I thought God sent his Son, and they murdered him, which constituted a blood sacrifice, and if you can go that far, you got it. He said, no, it isn't. Now you got to go to a name. Now you got to go to light. I'm not trying to take away your salvation. I'm trying to smarten you up. You see, if you take one verse of Scripture and think you can run the whole Bible by it, you're wrong. Now, what is light? This is a condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, hold it. What constitutes an evil deed? Now, we're right up against it, right? Okay, let's go find out. The same man that wrote this book wrote another book. It's called 1 John. All right, in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. In verse 11. For this is the message we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. Now listen, don't get your chronology all messed up. Everybody reads it. Oh yes, Cain did an evil work, he killed his brother. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That is not what the Bible says. It says his evil work brought on murder of his brother. What was his evil work? I'm glad you asked the question. I asked it for you. Hebrews 11. By faith, fourth verse, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. If Abel's sacrifice was more excellent, then Cain's was excellent. Right? An excellent sacrifice was evil. Yeah. The man followed the Bible. Genesis. Fourth chapter. 3:2 rather. Second half. And Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Well, that's wonderful. Everybody should. You're supposed to give the first fruit, the tithe, and everything else to God. God said it. Do it. Wrong. Right. Good and evil has now mixed this up. Let's read further. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry. Because God had two offerings set forth. One was the blood that was demanded because of sin. The second was the first fruit offering, which meant I have come under the blood. I can now offer to God acceptably because I myself am acceptable through the blood. And Cain says, who needs blood? I will offer my sacrifice and my praise unto God. I will now take the rest of the word. Now you understand that Cain did right in the fact that he didn't commit adultery. Right. That he didn't deny God. He didn't curse. He didn't do a lot of things. But he was a sinner without the blood. And no matter what he did without the blood offering, there was no place for anything else. Now, why did Cain fail? Let me tell you why in verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. All right. The literal translation from the Septuagint is categorically that you have done well, but you have not rightly divided. You have not rightly divided. In other words, what you did was not according to the light that God himself shed on his own word. All right. Study to show thyself approved unto God. See? Rightly dividing the word of truth. If the Bible is not rightly divided, it is no longer truth, it is error. Now that's where Cain went haywire. Now that's what we're talking about over here. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Nobody has a bit of problem with that. Jesus Christ died upon Calvary, and his resurrection has been proven century after century. It's been manifested. And that blood sacrifice was efficacious is proven by the fact that God raised him, because if the sacrifice was not efficacious, God would not have raised him. In other words, he was the perfect sacrifice. Now it tells you categorically over in here, and we make no mistake about it. This is a condemnation. There is condemnation in spite of the fact that Jesus died and rose again. And what is that condemnation? Revelation goes with it. No revelation, no light. And that's what people don't want to understand today. They don't want to have anybody tell you it takes a revelation. Well, all right, what's the Holy Ghost given for? The Holy Ghost is life himself that answers to the blood. And if anybody is absolutely under the blood, that person will absolutely, categorically, must receive the Holy Ghost.
We go to the book of Hebrews. The 10th chapter. But this man, verse 12, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost is also witness unto us. You can turn around and say, I've received the blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. I stand under that blood, but you absolutely have no evidence of the truth of that God has received you until you're full of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is your evidence that you're under the blood. And once you're full of the Holy Ghost, there's no way you'll ever be from under the blood. That's the eternal security of the saint. Yes, I'll show it to you in Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 13, in whom also after that ye hoped, and rather, in whom ye also hoped, that's not trusted, it's hope, after you heard, because of the precedent, that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. It tells you right there that you came to God for eternal life, that you came to Him for immortality, is what you really came for, is immortality. See? All right, now, the baptism with the Holy Ghost proves and shows that you have been redeemed, the blood falling upon the earth and you being made of earth, and the blood being upon the mercy seat, because you're a sinner and cannot approach unto God, because death is separation from God. Now you're joined back to God with the promise of immortality, and the Holy Ghost falling upon you proves that you are going to be immortal. And that holds good until the time of the resurrection. And it dies, it's lost, it's gone. See? All right. We're beginning to understand here then this morning that you cannot, there is no way that anybody as a born-again believer can walk outside of light. There's revelation is involved. Absolutely revelation is involved. There is no way anybody can be identified outside of the revelation. Let's go back again and see it in John, because that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to find out how revelation can come. We've got to settle some questions, which I'm afraid too many people never settle in their minds, because they're still under the creeds and dogmas of organization which repudiate the Word of God and say we're perfectly all right. They say, well, we believe in a sacrifice. We believe in some kind of a feeling. That's fine. I'm not against the feeling. But I am against the feeling without revelation. Now he said, this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. Now that's the thing, that without that light, there is no blood offering. And without the blood offering, there is no baptism with the Holy Ghost. So a person has to understand this, that any time we have anything to do with God, light has to strike the believer as concerning God's will in worship and our doing with Him. There is no way anybody can do with God outside of a revelation, because that's exactly what Cain tried to pull off. He said, look, I can understand the Word of God myself. I don't need the blood. It says blood, it says first fruits. Abel said, look, it takes blood first, then first fruits. And Cain said, no way am I going to come under that revelation. And the Bible said you have wrongly divided the Word. And if we wrongly divided the Word, the access to God through Jesus Christ is cut off. And God says you're not accepted. Now, look, I'm going to just give you some history right now. Let's understand this fact. Why was Israel cut off? Blinded, no revelation. Now, if you're going to accept that this morning, you've got to accept it all the way down through the Bible. Why was Egypt cut off? Blindness, no revelation. Why was Cain cut off? Blindness, no revelation. See? All through Scripture, there is this, not a tenet, it's a principle that God laid down. No revelation, no access. Now you say, well, Brother Bale, I got to have my access first. That's very good. You can have access, but the access is proven through revelation. I hope you didn't stumble on that one. Because let me tell you something, pear tree without pears, a lot of hogwash. You got to have pears to make it a pear tree. Now, if a Christian is truly born again, there has got to be the revelation that God has put in His Word for that people. Now, let's go back to the first church age. There was an absolute, complete revelation that Paul himself said he had. All right, let's go take a look at it. That's in the book of Galatians, the first chapter. Now, Paul is talking from the fact of his own experience and proven when he went to Jerusalem. In verse 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man, neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, what Jesus Christ taught Paul? The Holy Ghost. God in the pillar of fire. The pillar of fire came to Paul and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who talked to Saul from that time on and called him Paul? The same pillar of fire. Who was in the pillar of fire? The Lord God of Israel is in the pillar of fire, Jehovah, Elohim. Call him what you want. He was there. All right? What's the identification of Jesus Christ then? Holy Ghost. Paul, all right, let me show it to you. Let you hold your finger. Let's go on back. 2 Corinthians 5th chapter. I usually carry you a little bit too fast. Sometimes my mind goes so fast I don't fill in all the points, but I hope you're following me this morning. Okay, in the verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 5, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. How do you get to know him? Just like this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, giving us the same ministry, that we say the same thing. All right, who taught to the Apostle Paul? Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit, which was his original form. Let's go to Philippians. Second chapter, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Verse 5. Who being in the form of God, not a thought of Christ, to be grasped into retained to be equal with God. Which means to stay in the form of God, the pillar of fire. But made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, as made in the likeness of men. God in the form of a pillar of fire, in the form of a cloud, in the voice in the whirlwind, in the voice within the earthquake, because that's what attracted people. That same one, Holy Spirit, took upon himself the form of a man, then put the form of a man on the mercy seat. Revelation chapter 4, let's go look at it. Verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Just a voice. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now he's looking at things. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight like an emerald. That's the throne. Who sits on the throne? God sits on the throne. Okay. Verse 6 of chapter 5, and I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts didn't sit on the throne, it sits in the midst of the throne. A lamb stood a lamb as it had been slain. All right? The one that was in the midst of the throne was not on the throne. Who was in the midst of the throne? In other words, surrounded by the whole thing, Jesus was. Who was on the throne? God was. What is he? A pillar of fire. Veiled in a pillar of fire, the rainbow around his head. All right, that one talked to Paul. That same one talked to Paul. You say, well, just a minute now. How did he talk to Paul? He came down. All right, let's take a look over here in Exodus. Want to begin to understand things. That God is his own revealer of his own word. And he's got certain channels to do it. Okay. Maybe I want the third chapter instead. All right, third. Now, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the messenger of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord... I thought it was a messenger. Everybody gets so confused. So precise in their language that they think they can understand the Bible by just using a little bit of normal exegesis, grammar, and English combined, hogwash.
Let's just ask ourselves the question. Just hold your finger. Let's go back to Genesis 1.
All right, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was of form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So now right away, the human mind says, ha-ha, there's God who is Spirit, and He sent another Spirit out.
You've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. It tells you distinctly all through Scripture that God Himself did the making and the reforming and the restoration. It wasn't the Spirit that went out of God. It was God Himself, the Spirit, that came and did it. Now, right now, you can let your mind boggle down and say, you told us a lie. You go ahead. Be my guest. Because I'm not telling you a lie. Because I'm not taking time this morning going to Isaiah. And we can show you Scripture after Scripture where the Scripture distinctly says also Jeremiah that the Lord created the earth and He created it not in vain. And that's what it says here. The earth was vain. So something happened during that time. Then God Himself did the reforming of it. And the same God that said, behold, I create new heavens and new earth is the same Jesus that said it. That promised in Isaiah He would do the same thing. What we're talking about is one God who is Spirit. And He deals in a manner with the people whereby He can transmit His own understanding of Himself to the people. Now that's why the term Logos comes into being. Because Logos means the expression plus the thought that lies within it. So God expressing Himself in a form is God Himself doing it to get Himself across to the people. So that's why it says here, the angel, the messenger of the Lord. The messenger of the Lord came down. In other words, He's telling you, God has now a message to deliver, and He's designating Himself as the messenger. And since God Himself is inviolate, and He is inviolate, in other words, He stands there all by Himself, He Himself comes down to deal with that person. So therefore, it says, the Lord spake out of the bush. God was His own messenger. God Himself was revealing Himself. Now, let's go back to John again. So you'll understand what I'm saying. Because if you don't understand what I'm saying, I want to do my best to help you. And a little later on, we'll let you ask questions, but not this morning. I want you to try to get a continuous theme when I'm going into here. All right. It says here, God sent His Son into the world. All right, we accept the blood sacrifice, but hold it. The blood sacrifice does not work. No way. It merely brings condemnation. There has to be a light go with it. All right? Let's think of that light. John 1, first chapter. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men, God Himself, Holy Spirit, giving light. The life is what gives light. In Him is light and no darkness at all. In other words, God says, I make myself so plain to you, you cannot get into error. The elect cannot be deceived. There's no darkness in me. So, I'll tell you, if you ever get in that revelation from God, you've got it made. Every single thing that God stands for and is, becomes yours. Now you see what I'm trying to tell you. Without a revelation, the things of God are dead. And I don't care what you and I claim, they lie there dormant. Before I go back to John, go to Ephesians. In the 5th chapter, there's 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. In other words, that word manifest is a word that means absolutely proves. In its true character as to what it is. Now, I could come to you with a mask on my face. I could come to you as a hypocrite.
I could come to you with something I want to fool you with. But the Bible distinctly says that God unmasks that hypocrite. And when God reveals himself, there is no mask. There is no fooling. There is not yes and no with God or nay and amen, but everything is amen with God. So God says, listen, when I bring light, I bring light. Because I myself bring light. And I will reveal myself. Now look, we can turn around and say, but Brother Dale experience. Take your experience. And you better burn it now before it burns you in the lake of fire. Because your experience ain't worth two bits in the face of God. Now if you've got an experience that lines up with the Word of God, wonderful. But if your experience doesn't line with the Word of God, you've got something false. You've got a false fire. Because even Cain, who justified himself, was saying, look, you said a first fruit offering. I've done it. But he said, you didn't walk in the light. The light is, it requires blood to negate the sin and get back to me, to even get a sacrifice here. See? He misdivided the word. Now I'm going to tell you something. You go to every single Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, you name it, everybody in the world today of the hundreds of denominations, and I don't mean there's hundreds of denominations per se, I mean your little offshoots here and little offshoots there, and everybody's got his own little thought. Now you go to them and you say, what is the light? And if there's 700 different thoughts, or people with different thoughts, you'll have 700 lights. Now that's asinine. That's asinine. To begin with, the scripture limits God to 7 lamps. What 7 lamps? 7 lamps that God himself lit. Through 7 church ages, in other words, distinctly telling you that the Holy Spirit continuously gave a revelation for 7 church ages. God bringing the light. Now it says, but all things that are reproved. In other words, God himself said, look, I'm going to turn the spotlight on what's wrong. And he said it'll be made manifest. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. That's from amongst the dead. And Christ will give you light. A dead man can't see light. The reprobate cannot see light. He's giving a warning here to the Christian in the first church age, and this is the Ephesian church. He said, listen, you better understand one thing. Without revelation, there is nothing but nothing. Now, a man says, well, just a minute. How in the world am I going to get revelation? Now, that's the great question right there. 7 church ages, 7 lamps. 7 church ages, 7 lights, and all the same light, because it's Christ in the midst. Remember, it's one lamp with 7 branches with 1 oil in the lamp, right? So therefore, Christ gives revelation. The revelation of himself that guarantees the 7 solid church ages eternal life that makes up a bride. And that every one of those ages will walk in the light as he is in the light. I'm going to get a quote of Brian Kasurik on that because I talked about that over at the other place of what walking in the light is, and Brother Branham backed me 100%. I'll get the quote. I should have written it down. Didn't know I'd use it this morning. Well, I can't use the quote because it's not here. But let me assure you, I never lied to you. That walking in the light is not you doing good works and thinking you're doing something. Walking in the light is absolutely walking in a revelation. Amen. All right, because you can't walk without a revelation. You say Cain walked, sure, he did right into hell. Killed his brother. Now, let's watch this light. See? If this light that comes totally from the Word, without adding or subtracting, and you cannot add or subtract. That's what the Bible tells us. Then you will find categorically. Now let's get this understood. The minute God sends light to the Abels, the Cains will rise up to kill them. Who rose up against the Gentiles to destroy the work of Paul? The Jews did. And the rest of the birds that were blind to the Gentiles. All right. Well, now let's get this very, very carefully because we're dealing with our own age now with history. The dark ages, when the world went into eclipse, was because of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, under Luther, there came a glimmer of light called justification. Now, all right, who flocked to his banner? The elect. Who turned on him? The Canaanites did. The Roman Catholic Church. When Wesley came, who turned on them? The Lutherans. When the Pentecostals came, who turned on them? The Methodists. And their ilk. Now, when this light came, and William Branham came on the scene, and we'll talk about a prophet shortly, when he came on with an absolute manifestation of light, who turned on him? The Pentecostals. Now, if there's anything down the road as a future light, which there's not, they'll turn on us. But they've already done it anyway. Now, I said a while ago, if it comes from the Scripture, and God has always stayed with His Word, see? Now, did the Mormon Church come from Scripture? No, the Mormon Church did not come from Scripture. They added their own Gospels, and you can't add to it. Look, every time there is a continuity, and God in seven church ages has given light. Now, let's go back to the beginning. How did God give light to Israel? He sent a prophet. Before He gave light to Israel, the nation, there was light. When God began to deal very carefully with mankind, Abraham was called a prophet. And He said to Abimelech, He said, my prophet will pray for you or your God. There's a lot of power in a prophet. Now let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Who was the one that stood there when God brought Eve to Adam and He said, for this cause will a man leave father and mother? God was His own prophet. And He said, let me tell you something, Adam. You are going to leave her for me. You're going to separate yourself from me. He also said to them, you don't eat of the tree of life or you die. And death is separation. So therefore, separation from God through the woman was absolutely eating the tree of life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, pardon me, was eating it and getting away from God. All right, God was His own prophet, and He made the prophecy. Then when it came into effect, God explained exactly concerning His own word. Now, where do you find anything in Scripture that is contrary or anything in Scripture that would lead you to deny that God has always used prophets? That's what we're looking at. Now you say, what about those seven church ages? All right, I've got news for you. The same news that you know. There is nothing said in Scripture that God would use a prophet in any other ages but the first and the last. Now, a prophet brings the pure word of God, or he's got nothing. We go back to the book of Deuteronomy to see. Now, we'll get back to John again. Don't worry. I'm keeping in mind everything I said. I don't know that you are, but that's what I try to bring together for you. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, this is after God, Israel turns down, God communicating to the people en masse. Verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Verse 15 of 18 now. Unto whom ye shall light hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord God, thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Now, and the Lord said, they have well spoken what they have spoken. God said, that's absolutely how I'm going to deal with them. I will deal with the people giving revelation from me through a prophet. Now then, do you understand why Jesus was called that prophet? Because if He wasn't a prophet, somebody boo-booed. Somebody boo-booed very badly. Now, I want to ask you a question. What makes a man a prophet? Oh, you say he's got a gift. I beg to differ with you. It's not because he's got a gift at all, because we're talking in terms of how God gives revelation by special prophets who bring the word. And the fact of the matter is, what makes the prophet is nothing to do with himself at all. It's God Himself. God is His own prophet. The prophet is not a prophet per se, because he has got nothing to say. Balaam himself said, I can say neither good in my own mind. The other prophet said, thy word was altogether in my mouth. Paul himself said, I didn't get this from myself, and I didn't get it from a man. I got it from God. Then who's the prophet? God is the prophet. He's his own prophet. He's his own messenger, which is a prophet. So God himself reveals himself, but he has a channel. Now here's the channel right here. I'll raise him up a prophet amongst their brethren. Now he's talking about Jesus coming as the great prophet. In verse 19, it'll come to pass, whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I'll require of him. Now they're not the words of the man. Jesus said, what I see my Father do, I do, and what I hear him say, I say. No prophet can say anything good or bad of himself. Now watch, in verse 20, this is the category of all prophets. But the prophet will presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded to speak, or that speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. God says he's finished. If thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Now he's talking about prophets. There's an earmark. There's a manifestation. Because light is manifested. It's a prover. Do you believe that? Paul, let's find out. Now here's where I might go completely haywire because I got such a lousy memory. It's in the book of Numbers. All right. Okay, chapter 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and on the sons of Pelet, the sons of Reuben, took men. They rose up before Moses with certain children of Israel. Now remember, Moses is that prophet that God vindicated, that he alone would speak for God to the people. 50 princes of the assembly, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men are renowned. Always watch if you got a smart man in the congregation. Always watching for some prestige or something. Didn't the Apostle Paul say, if you want something done in the church, and there's a question, bring the poorest, sloppiest man according to pride and zeal, and everything else, bring him in, the lowest man, and he'll tell you what's right, because he's got to depend on God. The other guy's too sharp. The devil's already got him. How come the Bible said there's not many great, not many mighty, not many wise, and every church is full of them? Ha! This wisdom cometh not from above. They gathered themselves against Moses, against Aaron, and said to them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. And every one of them, the Lord is amongst them. Therefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Hallelujah, where it is. Moses got mad. So if Levi gets mad, forgive him. Because if Moses can get mad, I can get twice as mad, and God won't even wink an eyelash. I'm just telling you flat. I understand people get so fussed up about it. I've had people try to prostitute me in my ministry. You think I don't resent it? Merciful God, I resent it. That's all I'm hanging on to. I'll tell you about that later. Moses heard, he fell upon his face, he spake unto Korah and unto the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, and who is holy, and who and will cause him to come near unto him, even him who he hath chosen, and he will cause to come near unto him. God's got a man. When he sends a prophet, don't you dare raise up against him. Then you better know what the earmarks of a prophet are. And the earmarks of a prophet is vindication. He comes in the name of the Lord. And what he says comes to pass. Now let's get this flat. God has integrity. If he doesn't have integrity, who needs him? Who needs him? You come and say, Lee, Dale told me to tell you that he's going to give you $100. And you come and you say, Lee, I want the $100. And I say, who told you? Or you say, George Bush told me. Well, I said, George Bush is a liar. He ain't going to get the $100. Because I never told him. You think I'll give that guy $100? Even if I got $50,000? If I had $50 million, no way! No way! I didn't say it. Then a man comes and says, thus saith the Lord, and God brings that thing to pass for him? And he's not God's prophet? Ha! Then I got more integrity than God, more guts or whatever you want to call it. Let me tell you something, God's not stupid, brother, sister. I'm not dealing with a God that's a fool.
I deal with one who understands his word and gives his own revelation. And Moses stood up and he said, God, either I am your prophet or I'm not your prophet. And the showdown came, all right? Let's just go over here to the book of 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. Paul the Apostle, I, brethren, first person I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony, the facts, and the data of God. For I determined not to do anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and that's the thing you don't want. I was with you in weakness and fear, and in much trembling of my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Paul said, I came to you, and thus saith the Lord, vindicated. You know where you stand. He said, you know where you stand. God turned down Cain on a false revelation. God exalted Abel under the right revelation. And he said, let me tell you fact. He said, I stand here as a savior of life unto life and death unto death. When you hear me preach, you're either going straight to eternal life or going straight to hell, mate. He said, I'm not telling you because I say it. I'm telling you because that's the truth. That's a revelation. Now let's get this flat. Let's understand something about how God gives revelation. He gives it in certain times when there is a necessity to have a prophet. There's only certain times that God does have a prophet. Let's find out when those times are. Let's go back to Amos, the 3rd chapter, verse 7. All right. Surely the Lord will do nothing but He revealeth His secrets unto His servants the prophets. Now that tells you flat right there. When the Word of God lies in a limbo, in the state of men's minds, but they at that time must know what it is and don't know, God will bring a prophet on the scene. Now let's just go back in history for a little bit. People have looked forward to the resurrection for roughly 2,000 years because that's the great event, right? Now, if you think of some other event, you're mixed up this morning, honey. You're not born again. You're not saved. You ain't got nothing because you don't know nothing. You said, just a minute, Brother Bale. I think you're very unkind. Just a minute. I think you're very dense. I don't think you belong here this morning because I thought by now we were talking to mature people. Paul the Apostle said, now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, yet how say some among you there's no resurrection from of the dead? Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found fault witness of God, because we have testified to God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. He said, if there's no resurrection, forget it. What we've been waiting for 2,000 years. Resurrection. Okay. 1 Thessalonians. 4th chapter. All right. Paul speaks concerning the dead and living. Verse 13, but I wouldn't have hearing your brethren concerning them which are asleep. He's talking to the living. That you, living, sore not as them which others which have no hope. For if we, living, believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Come on. Paul, what right have you got to say, thus saith the Lord? Based upon the fact they already said it time and time again, never once did it fail. I'm God's servant speaking to you, said the Apostle Paul. I'm the Holy Ghost to you. I'm the true vicar of Christ. Ha! I'll get down with you with a Baptist background. I don't know who you are, because I got a lot of Baptists in me. I wasn't just Pentecostal, buddy. I went the whole gamut. Presbyterian, United Church, Pentecostal, Baptist, you name it. I know the doctrine. I know what they do and how they conduct themselves. All right, listen. Thus saith the Lord, they which are alive and remain, and that's you people, as it were, unto the presence of the Lord, shall not go before them or take any precedence or preeminence over them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God,
dead in Christ shall rise first. Now listen, that's a period that you've got to wonder about, because now we've got a resurrection period, now we've got an immortality period, now we've got the whole thing, and it's secret.
Now, the Lord will do nothing about these things unless there's a prophet. That's what he said. And he said, I don't believe it. Fine, you don't have to believe nothing. I'm not here to crack your head and pour something in it. Well, you think I could give you a revelation? Ha! I can't even give myself revelation, honey. What are you talking about?
Right.
Now, if I could levitate myself by pulling on my bootstraps, I'm still a luck, because I've only got two pairs of shoes, one pair with shoelaces, and I don't think that one shoelace is too good. And if I could do with the pulling, I tried to pull a weed up here today, and my arthritis is so bad I can't pull a weed. So you're looking at a complete dum-dum. Because unless God does it, ain't no way. Now, come on. Let's go back to Amos. You see, I don't know that you're seeing what I'm seeing. Joel Amos, and that's after Daniel somewhere in there, so we're going to find it. All right, 7th verse, 3rd chapter. For surely the Lord will do, Lord God do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. Now listen. He says, I'm going to reveal my secret. Now you can't add to the book or take from it. So what lies in there which is secret or hidden as to a time element? That's what it's all about. Because he's not going to do a thing that's time element. Until this time, he's got a prophet to do it, right? Prophet did. All right? He had a prophet called John. He had a prophet called Paul. He had a prophet called John, the revelator, who gave us those things. And in there are things that are secret, such as the seals. What's below the seals? What's in the thunders? Now, you can't add, you can't take, so it's in there. Now, what's going to happen to the time of the seals? Okay, let's find out. Oh, I'm sure glad we're getting hot this morning. You follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, look, this is as clear as crystal in water this morning. Okay, in Revelation 22 and in verse 10, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Hold it! Revelation 10 and 4, and when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and don't list them. Then between Revelation 10 and 4 and Revelation 22 and 10, the seals are opened. Come on, you can't have your cake and eat it. You can't stay smart and stupid. You can't stay dark and light. We're not running a halfway house here. I stand in the hope of the resurrection. Now let's keep reading. He that, now listen, he said, seal not the sayings, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust still. He that's filthy, filthy still. He that's righteous, righteous still. He that's holy, holy still. This is the time of separation. What separation? From those that go in the rapture and those that don't. Those that take the Antichrist and those that don't. Those that are here for the judgment of Malachi. Hold your hand there. I'm going to have you so many hands pretty soon you can't hold them, because I had you way back there in numbers, but I forgive you. The Lord forgave you, why shouldn't I? He didn't put you on a spot, why should I? Okay, Malachi. 3rd chapter. I'm sorry, 4th. Oh, no one. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. It'll leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun the righteous rise as healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and tread down the wicked. There'll be ashes under your feet. At the time that judgment strikes, the righteous are separated from the wicked die, and the righteous live. Okay! Revelation 22. Revelation 22, my question is, who is doing this? God is doing it. Who is separating? God is doing it. When's he gonna do it? I don't know! But you better know, because it's a secret at a juncture
So what happens? God sends a prophet. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry for you. Peek your hand there. Put one more hand out because you need seven or eight hands now. I'm really going to bind you up in a bind. We go back to the book of Malachi. It doesn't hurt you to laugh a bit and get relaxed. Look. Okay, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the children back to the Father because John the Baptist did the first part. Lest I come and smite with the curse. God guarantees the smiting, and he guarantees a prophet. Now you tell me there's no prophet here in chapter 22, and I'll tell you don't know the things of God from nothing. Because you're telling me you're so smart, or somebody's so smart with you, you got it figured out. Call your conclave. But God's already said it takes a prophet to reveal my secrets. This is the secret. The whole church words that says we're born again, they talk about the secret rapture. The secret rapture. God says no secret without a prophet. What's wrong with the church word? Poor old Evel the Pentecostal died. Poor old Evel the Baptist, he double died. Poor old Evel the Presbyterian never even got his eyes open. And poor old E. Dale, the United Church that came out of Canada, my God, he missed hell by 40 miles even. Even hell's too good for him. I know what I'm talking about. I was there. I've seen it all. I'm not kidding you. You're not talking to you. I'm not, man up here is not talking to you as though he's some, little clown out there in the street that hasn't been someplace. I've been through it, brother, sister. I haven't preached all these years for nothing. I know what they say and why they say it. See, now listen, it tells you right here, and behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, and the coming is supposed to be secret, and God says he tells his secrets.
Amen.
Well, you see, I don't believe anybody's going to know the exact day and the hour. What has that got to do with it? For it says the Lord's going to be present. For the Lord himself shall descend. Now descend is descend. Oh, we got some mothers here. And I know you're stupid as a theologian. So your kid climbs up on the roof up here. And his name is Johnny. Johnny, come down. So Johnny takes two steps. I'm down, Mommy. Have you descended, Johnny?
Yes, I've descended.
She looks, Johnny, get down. You no more came down than this. The Lord himself shall descend. So they keep him up in the air. Come on. Come on. So much for the smart guys. Merciful God, a three-year-old kid knows that. You think little Johnny didn't know he's lying? Sure he did. He wanted to stay up there. Wanted to fool his mother. Who are the theologians sent to fool? People. Don't you know the earmarks of the last day? Deceit, 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 fool, fool, fool. But the elect cannot be fooled. Now how are they not going to be fooled? God's got to tell them. How's he going to tell them? Now come on, let's read Matthew 24. Let's just nail the thing down here. See, look, we have got to come to a place where we have an absolute, or shut up and get out. Too late in life, I'm tired of the humbug. Too late in life. Because I don't feel like boozing it up. Can't stand the thought of a headache. I'd like to relax like the pig in the swill. I told you years ago, we had a couple of pigs. And we decided to make some choke cherry wine. Oh, that's very good stuff, too. If you don't make it too stout. But you know, we didn't drink it. We just made it. We gave it away. So I poured the mash out to the pigs. And you know, I didn't know why they were so happy. They'd sit there dreaming. They're lolling around and dreaming, just floating in space. Till I suddenly realized those hogs were drunk. But you know, I got an idea. Once they started to wake up, they weren't so happy. Well, look, I'd like to just go, with a bottle of booze, if this all there is to it. But it's too late. I got these stupid habits. I'm like the guy that came over to America in Canada. He came from somewhere in the Ukraine or Poland or somewhere, and he came over with a piece of bread and a hunk of garlic sausage. And so he worked his fool head off. And he finally came to the place where he had a lot of money. And you know, by the time he got 70 years of age and could enjoy himself, all he could eat was bread and garlic, because that's all he liked. I'm in that case. I can't go and get drunk, Mary. It'd be nice for him to go and get tight. You know? No way. There's nothing nice about it. I got the other way too long. There's got to be something, brother, sister, that's an absolute. There's got to be. There's got to be a juncture time. There's got to be a resurrection. There's got to be a rapture. Israel's got to be back in the homeland. God has got to do what he said or shut up. Now, at a juncture time, he said, I'm going to do something. Now, you tell me when he's done something since the resurrection and put the Apostle Paul here to tell us. Nothing. Nothing. What did both Paul and John say was going to happen? Resurrection and rapture. And that's the secret. They all say it's a secret. Then let's get this flat. He had better send a prophet or God boom. I know the world says, oh, just a minute now, Brother Dale. Now you just hold your horses and keep your eighth hand here. While I take your ninth hand over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Oh, you're going to get out of here shortly, which means within 2 hours. I might get tired by that time. See, then now, when I don't have notes, I don't have to worry about nothing. So when I wind down and I preach, I've talked to one fella from 8:30 to 1:30 in the morning. So you sit here, you'll have to be here to, well, 12:30, which is 30 minutes to go. 40. Okay. Listen, Hebrews 1 and 1, God who in many parts, because that's what the translation literally says, sundry times and divers manners, does not say that. It says, in many parts and in many ways, spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets. Now, God was in the prophets, and he did it in parts and different ways. I'm going to just show you God's not changed. Even in dealing with you and me, that part you can forget. Now, let's roll back to the book of Acts. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. If you run out of tape, tell me when to quit. All right. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different administration, but the same Lord. Diversities of operation, but the same God. He tells you. Even in the body. God does different things in different ways, but it's the same Spirit. And God deals with the prophets at different times and different manners. When did he tell every prophet to lie on your side for so many days and eat cow manure? How many prophets did he tell, pick up a couple of prostitutes and marry him? How many prophets, throw down your rod and I'll turn it into a serpent? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? He did it many ways, but it was the same God doing it all the time. Now he says right here, he said, look, positively, there is something that's going to go on. All right, now, the book of, I'm going to go to Matthew 24, and I'm going to take you back there. Now listen, in the third verse it says, and at the end of the third verse, what will be the sign of thy presence? Not your coming, but that you're here. That's not the millennium. You're here. The Lord will descend with the shout. Okay, keep your finger there. I have, I'm going to run out of fingers even now. 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. See, look at these verses all go together. There is not even one hitch, tiny hitch in the Scripture. Listen, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. It says we're going to be gathered when he comes down. But that's not the millennium. That's not the body. What is it? The Holy Spirit. That's all it can be. That's all it is. Because that's what Jesus is. Not the body. That was just a man. Special kind of a man. A God man. We're talking about God. There aren't three gods, you know. A Father and a Son and the Holy Ghost. That's the most stupid thing in all the world. Just sit and think a while. God decided to create everything and made man. But he made a boo-boo because he made the devil too. Oh my, the devil gets in there and he takes poor man over. And he said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And the son says, Father, I'll go down and take care of it. So the son goes down and dies. Now the Holy Ghost said, what he said, it'd be a bosh until I took over. How stupid can people get? Three gods, my foot. One God. Holy Spirit, that's what he is. And the same God appeared in a human body. A very special body. And Jesus was the blood of God. Bible says so. But he wasn't God because the Bible says the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how can God have a God? Oh, that's this big God, little God, middle God. That's the three bears. Forget it. You're not dealing in theology. You're dealing in Christ. All right? What's the sign of your presence? He said, what is it? I'm going to tell you what it is. He said, confusion, 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 confusion. Oh, merciful God, we got that already. Yeah, there's going to be more. Yeah, but Lord, that's not your pattern. Because you promised you yourself would not confuse. That's right, I'm sending a prophet. See, God cannot operate in the realms of time junctures when those things must take place that are not known to man in the sense of their revelation. So God has got to send a prophet. See? Now, let's go back to Hebrews again. Oh, went too far. Got my mind's going way down the road. Okay. First and one verses. One and two verses. God, in many parts, in many ways, spake in times past unto the fathers, in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us, in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the ages. Not worlds. No. Ages. Cosmos ages. Who being the brightness. Now right away people said, see what it is. There's no more prophets. Well. How did the word come to Paul? He's not a prophet. So you just killed yourself right there. See, that's Baptist theology. That's Pentecostal. Women preacher, especially crud. Don't talk to me about women preachers. I just spit tats every time I think of one certain woman who got $1,500 of my money to go down to the islands, and on account of my wife, I lay right on her. I said, I'm going to make them give me my money because they sold the building. They owe me $1,500 in wages, and she wanted to be nicer Christian to me, so she prevailed upon me, and a woman went down to the islands and spread rot, corruption, and filth. So, Mom, if you pay a price, you know why, just like I pay my prices. Now, people, let's get this plan. I'm not hitting my wife here for her sake because I'm angry because we've been through this before. I'm hitting for your sakes. Because it'll backfire on you. And you'll stand in judgment. Now, you won't be as a bride, but you'll get your lumps right here. That's why a lot of you folk had better not start praying for any kind of a healing until your record is clear. See, I don't worry too much about arthritis anymore because I disobeyed God, spit right in his face. I know I did. So I just roll with the punches now and I go to the doctor and he says, well, that's not too bad. I said, praise the Lord, it's not too bad. It starts to be better right now. I'm not worried about my health. Not like it used to be because I'm going to pay my debt because there's no judgment ahead of me. But you see, things go wrong because we lay rotten eggs. We plant wrong seeds. All right? They say there's no prophets. I hit this woman preaching what I said a while ago because she's the one who denied Brother Branham. A vindicated man stood there. And the Holy Ghost. Pah! Holy Ghost, my foot. Revelation. I'm a mean guy. I never said it wasn't. Don't give me this stuff about Jesus being all sweet. Why did he cleanse the temple? Why did John call a generation of vipers? And Jesus said, wipe the sepulchres. Why is God going to have a judgment? I'm supposed to stand here speeches in God. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 9 of chapter 22. Then he said to me, see thou do it not, when John tried to fall down and worship. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophet. John was a prophet. Okay, then, you big-mouthed Pentecostal hogwashers and Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, witchcraft. Don't tell me there aren't any prophets. Who said so? Some big synod or some big conclave or some big overseer that couldn't see past his nose when it comes to the things of God? Yes, you bet there are prophets, but not many. Not many. One prophet must come according to Jesus in Matthew 17. Man, I brought 9 lovely pages of notes to preach from, and I've laid into one side, and then that's a horrible thing to do to me. I'm going to let you go pretty quick now, see, because we're going to wind up on this. I just wanted to preach this out so to give you every chance to understand what's in my heart, what Brother Branham taught, to let you know, listen here, there are genuine prophets all through the church history. But they have an earmark. And the earmark is right in the Word of God. And as I've said time after time, I was born in Canada. I don't have a bit of trouble telling you that I left that place with hilarity and high hopes and glory to God in my soul. I'd never go back to being a Canadian. I love being down here with you Yankees. I've identified myself with you and you're stuck. Well, I'm going to tell you about this being a Canadian. I never saw a cardinal in my life. I think the cardinal, I love those redbirds. Man, not because they're indigenous to Ohio and we have them, say, here as a, you know, as a little old bird of the state. Even we are Buckeye. We're more dead-eye, I guess. But when it comes to the things of God. But I love those birds. And you know what? I never had a bit of trouble recognizing a cardinal from the pictures in the book. Now look, the Bible must be better than that. When I first saw Brother Branham, I'm not boasting, see, this is me. I never had a bit of trouble knowing this was one fellow to listen to, if you ever listened to anybody, and I kept listening and listening. And I couldn't put anything together. Until one day the light struck. When I knew who he was, everything just went into line. You see, brother, sister, don't sell yourself short. Don't listen to creeds and dogmas as something you've been taught when the Word of God blares out in the bright burning light of the noonday as it struck the Apostle Paul. There are prophets all through the ages, Elijah and Moses. Whether they are the original or not, it doesn't mean anything. But they're designated as prophets in the last 3.5 years. God has not failed to deal with us by prophets. Or how did the Gentiles get anything? Who was it that said the Gentiles would receive Christ? Abraham! That's before there was a nation. And you can pin him with Noah.
That's right.
You can pin him with Enoch. The Lord cometh with myriads of his hosts, his saints. You can pin it right down. People who say, they try to tell us, oh, you see, a prophet was just given to Israel. Hogwash! A prophet was given to God's people to reveal his secrets. Anybody tie you into knots? Oh, listen. If they argue, just go down the road and say, I ain't got time for that nonsense. Remember one day, John Wesley was walking down the street and a guy stood in his way and he said, I don't get off the sidewalk for food. And John says, I do. And he stepped to one side. Don't try to be a Peter Cartwright. You know, the fella says, you got to lick me first. You step down and beat the tar at him. I'd turn to be a John Wesley, just sidestep it. That's more to my liking. I don't know if I'd do it or not, though. I might if you look big enough. All right, I regret once he hit me. That's what it really would be. I'd like him out that. I mean, he hit me. That'd be the end of that. Listen, Jesus said here, concerning the coming of his kingdom, which is the millennium, Elijah shall truly first come and restore all things. Right? Okay. Who was Elijah? A prophet. Who was John the Baptist? One in the spirit of Elijah. So therefore, one in the spirit of Elijah has got to come again. Acts the 3rd chapter. 19th verse, the middle. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even God shall send Jesus Christ, which was before appointed unto you. Now hold it, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things. Now who's to do the restoring? Elijah. Now, if the Gentiles have one hope, now let's see if they do. Come on, Gentiles? How many Gentiles? I got a nose, but I'm not Jewish. Hold it right there. Don't you dare. I'm an Israelite indeed by the Spirit, but other than that, don't you dare talk about me. Come on. I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's 1 Thessalonians 4. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the atoms, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound. There is one trumpet for every church age, 7 messages. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, for this corruptibility, for incorruptibility, this mortal immortality. And when this happens, it says death is swallowed up in victory. Okay, let's go to Hosea 13 and 14. Now that Hosea, he's a tougher one because he lies in little a rougher spot in the Bible. I'm going to have a job finding myself. I never know if Hosea is back here or back there when it comes to certain ones. It's got to be pretty close to, what do you call him, old Amos over here. But is it right behind Daniel? Yeah, it's got to be right in there pretty close. Now, it's got to be about 13 chapter. See, my mind goes kind of blanks at times. Okay. And before we do that, let's go to the 1st chapter of Hosea. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea the son of Beeri of Ahaz and so on in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee so and so and so and so and do such and such and such and such. All right. Verse 7. But I will have mercy. No. Verse 6. And God said unto him, call her name Lo Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. I'll take my utterly. I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them. All right. Who's he talking to? Judah and Israel. Wonderful. Let's get over here then to the 13th chapter. O Israel, verse 9, thou hast destroyed thyself, and in me is thine help. What about that? You've destroyed yourself, and I said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to get you out of your own rubble. I will be thy king. Where is there any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges of whom thou said, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He's an unwise son, for he shall not stay long in the place where the breaking forth of children. Now listen, I will ransom thee from the power of the grave. I'll redeem thee from death. O death, I'll be thy place. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Now, that's to the Gentiles. You say, well, it's given to Ephraim. It's given to the Gentiles. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you don't see this, and understand that no man can arbitrarily say, hey, this belongs here and that belongs there, without a distinct revelation by somebody who is in the know, which would have to be a prophet, you've just cut your own throat. Because if Paul was not a prophet, there is no way that he could put what is over in Hosea over in here and give it to the Gentiles. That was not written for Israel. After the flesh. It was written for Israel after the Spirit. But who can tell it unless a prophet? So what I'm trying to tell you here is there has to be a prophet at the end time. The Bible distinctly says so. There has got to be one. Now, remember we were talking about light in John 3. Okay, let's go back to John 3 and we'll be out of here pretty quick. I promise you we're not going to stay after this. Because I want to go myself. This is a condemnation that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now Jesus Christ said, I am indeed the Son of God, the Son of Man that takes away the sin of the world. I am indeed that one, but I got news for you. I am also the one that brought light. Now you turn me down, you turn everything down when you turn down that light. Now he said, except you believe that I am, not he, that I am, you die in your sins. See, now let's read it again. God so loved the world, he did not perish last night. For God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, but the world to him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name. What's his name? I and my Father are one. People don't believe in one God, believe in three gods. They try to tell you they do. They say, well, you see like it is. He's a pitcher of water poured into three glasses. I said, hold, you got three glasses. Well, what do you pray for? I pray to God through the Son by the Holy Ghost. That's three people. You got three gods, not one. There was one God. He gave himself a body through a woman without sex, creating the egg and the sperm so that he became the seed of the woman. And at the River Jordan, God came down and then dropped the son. People say, oh, just a minute. What about that voice that said, this is my beloved son? It was the beloved son. And the dove, which John alone saw, a fiery dove, was that Holy Spirit that went into him and stayed there. That was God. Because God cannot be born. God cannot die. I don't understand what all this jazz and this foolish talk about. There was a voice and there was this. So what? What has that got to do with it? They try to make like he's some kind of ventriloquist. What any ventriloquist? This is my son. Jesus is the Son of God. God had a son. And that's how God himself became son, was producing this one in whom he was. Then if God put himself in that son, what was he? He was son. In attributes of son. That's not a big deal. Don't get your minds all clobbered up like sour milk with gnats and flies in it. There's nothing to it. As simple as ABC. Just let your thinking go and believe the word of God for a change.
That's all, nothing to it. Now, he said, if you don't believe in the name, he said, you still haven't got it. What's the name? I came in my Father's name. What was his name? Jesus. What is Jesus? Jehovah, Savior.
Amen.
There's not three gods, there's one God. There's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Why do people read it the God Christ Jesus? I worked with a man for 10 years over here. He went out of the church one night. He said, Brother Bale's wrong. He said, he believes in two gods. How could that fathead believe it? I said, I believe in two gods. There's one God. You know what his trouble was? He was Jesus only. He's never believed the message, never come to the light. Come on, I'm hitting hard this morning. I care less. You don't like it, that's fine. Go someplace else. It's just that simple. I'm not here to betray you. Other men betrayed you. I've never betrayed you. I haven't taken your money or anything. When have I not stood up for the word of Almighty God? See, there's one God. There's one God. See? Jesus only doesn't understand that. Their doctrine is the lie of hell. Your brother Brandon had to correct. I want to ask you a question. How were you baptized? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or Jesus' name or what? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? That's no name. That's titles. What's his name? Jesus. What Jesus? Not some Jesus from Mexico or Spain. There's lots of Jesuses around the country. What Jesus? Who is both Lord and Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, that's a name. And God hath made this one that you killed both Lord and Christ. One this doctrine got some stupid idea sucking the body up and this and that. Merciful God. What hogwash. Yeah. You ever heard such nonsense in your life? Funny the man didn't come and tell me. Now, see, I've opened the whole thing for an argument, a showdown, right now this morning. You'll get it. Because you're going to have your chance to speak up if you've got guts. Because from now on, the gloves are off, as far as I'm concerned. And we will sit here and we will learn. And when you don't understand, stand up and tell me. And say, Brother Bale, run that by me again. And I'll find seven different ways to tell you, as God helped me to tell you. Who alone hath immortality is here. He alone can give it. I'm not tough on you. You might think I am, but listen, I get reports by telephone all around the country now. They're really descending on us because we believe that he is here. And it's so what? A certain man who runs around the world has radio, TV, and he criticizes me as though I'm running around the world. Where have I gone the last little while? I got tickets that I send back to Africa, to Australia, and any time I need to let Europe know, I got tickets waiting. Wouldn't you like to get tickets to go to Europe? I'm not interested. I've been there. And I paid my way. And I paid my own expense. My wife and I spent $3,600 in the time when the dollar was really worth something. For 21 days. I took another brother one time. We spent about $24,000 to $3,000, my money. I don't take anything from anybody. Why run? You think God needs me? I need God. What's the use of going on? He tells me to go. I was going to go to Australia, New Zealand. And I suddenly remembered, hey, I didn't ask God about this. I said, Lord, should I go? Because I didn't care when or not. And the voice inside said, it's not the time now. And it wasn't. If I'd have gone there, I'd have gone erroneously right into the midst of another man's camp meeting. And they said, well, that leave there, that's the kind of jerky. Yeah, he'll come over here and disrupt. Yeah. And the Lord said, stay home, boy. And I stayed ever since. I got to. Now I feel just bad enough to have an excuse to stay home. I can bug you. Now, come on, listen. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name. He hasn't believed. Let me tell you something. Jesus never was a man to us. Never, 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 never. Nor will he be until we see him face to face. He has been spirit and a name. He's never been flesh to you. Never has been, never will be. He was only flesh to Israel. And Paul said, you knew him once after the flesh, but you don't know him anymore. Then if you don't know that one after the flesh, who is he? Because there's still a flesh up there. Brother Branham said he raised the body. If you don't understand that Brother Branham was teaching the truth that God was in that man, and if that body was literally God, you see, how could a prophet say he raised the body? And you say, body. They call Marilyn Monroe the body. You don't go around calling people body. He was telling you, God had a body. The same one was in a pillar of fire. He left that body. That body hanged upon Calvary cross and shed his blood and thereby became the blood of God to us because God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Jesus by himself could not have done it. He was a special, special man, a God man. Adam fell. Everybody falls. But he didn't fall. And he's immortal. And he's given the highest position in heaven so that everything that God is comes through him. And one day God is going to go back into him. Yeah.
Amen.
He'll put aside the pillar of fire temporarily. And when we rise and meet him, because he, the Spirit that's here now, will precede us. And when he incarnates himself, he'll be King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the altogether lovely. In the form of a man. And we'll sing and shout and dance about it. Yep, it's going to be wonderful. 90 minutes? I'm going to do that to you. Listen. And this is the condemnation that light came to reveal who he is that died upon Calvary. And I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, if you're truly born again, the light of your need of regeneration has already struck. The light of your need of not only cleansing by the blood, but the washing of water, not for sins now, but your testimony to God into the world, you get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which brings on the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Light, light, everything is light. Everything's revelation. Or how come so many people don't go past the fact that Jesus died upon Calvary? And they never get the baptism with the Holy Ghost. They're not even baptized in water. They're sprinkled. Where are they? See, it won't work. Then when that light strikes as to the name and who he is, that's when everything else begins to pour in. See? We don't only have a light, brother, sister. We walk in the light. We live in the light. And it's revelation. And I brought the question up. Who is going to tell us? What man is going to stand up? When Luther came on the scene, the Roman Catholic said, kill him! They couldn't. He was God's man. They could kill Huss and get rid of a few more. And then the Protestants. Oh my, they rose up in high dudgeon. They were wonderful. Calvin, he's no more full of the Holy Ghost than them, as far as I'm concerned. Conservatives came by and preached one God and proved it. And service said, we better get rid of him. So he turned him in. Who was in the light? Not Calvin. Now come on, don't kid me. No, the Holy Ghost doesn't kill men with light. It's Cain because his deeds were evil. Now what deeds were evil? He brought some first fruit. Oh, you say, wow, that's beautiful. God said, yep, sure is, but it won't work. Hey, Cain, that's excellent. You bet it's excellent. How would you like to go back to the days of the garden when they had fresh carrots? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, a properly fertilized garden with natural and not synthetic fertilizer, that's the leaves, you know, and all those goodies, and oh, you talk about good carrots and good tomatoes. How would you like to have been back there when your taste was not degenerated by crud and corruption? And the food was of the pure seed and the life in it. How would you like to have a bunch of carrots like that? Can't wait for the millennium. There they stood right there on the altar. Ooh, that's beautiful. Yeah, you said that's good. Wrong revelation. Evil deed. And what happened? He killed his brother. Now listen, I'm giving you a lesson this morning. The squeeze has not come down. But it's coming down. When a man can say, prayers, I'm sick of it. You're nice and silent. It was a silent king who picked up a silent rock after the wrong revelation and silently killed his brother. After God manifested who he was in the form of man and spilled his guts. You don't even angry, do you? They better like it. Because no other word will get across you. If I speak in the sweet, dulcet tones of the theologian, you'll sit here and go to sleep and go to hell on me. I'm going to wake you up. I said he spilled his guts. Which means right in here it all came out. He put it on the altar in front of him. Kill him! Now you and I aren't even nice. We don't ever really spill our guts. We reserve to ourselves that little shade of hypocrisy. God didn't. And in this last hour, he didn't. And I'm running scared, yep. I can talk pretty brave, and then when it comes to tell you the truth, I will tell you the truth. I'm running scared. I've been through one depression. I've been through my own little private problems, and though I will say this, that I've never been so encouraged in all my life to have men stand with me. And I will say this, I'm one of the most fortunate men in 6,000 years of God's history, because David had an entire kingdom and had only 10 mighty men. And I got 6 or 8 people, and I got 3 mighty men to stand with me. I'm still running scared. Because for what little has come forth, the repercussions are tremendously high. See? Terribly high. And they'll get higher. They'll get worse and worse and worse. No, I don't know. I hope I'm set for the defense of the gospel in more ways than one. I hope I'm set for everything that's going to come down. Because I want to tell you, as the bride goes out in a blaze of light, the world goes down as Egypt in the darkness of death. And a man in his death struggles as in war, and it's war on the bride. That war will be as intense as any darkness ever hit this world. And Brother Branham said, in this age comes the repeat of all diabolical cunning and everything the devil threw in 7 ages. Under 4 faces, under 7 seals will hit us. But let me tell you, everything that God was in it is raised up at this hour as our standard and our banner. So fear not, little flock, it's still your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We have had raised up irrevocably, indubitably, absolutely proven that a prophet was in the land. And that man would thus set the Lord absolutely had to be the reflector and the mouthpiece of Almighty God. And whatever he said has come to pass in Scripture, and not only come to pass, so much has been revealed. I've caught everything he said to this point that I've been really interested in. Later on, God may show me more. I found everything he said in this word as perfect as his word said in the Greek, and he didn't know any more about the Greek than I did, even as much. And I know next to nothing, but I got the Greek books. I can say here to your give your consolation, you're doing the right thing by staying with the Word of God. Don't desert it. And I say this, if I'm off the Word, you come to me. It's your duty. You bet your sweet life, because I don't want to be off that Word. I can make mistakes. Anybody can make mistakes. I want to tell you one thing. The Word will always come behind and correct the error when a Christian has any problem. See? So you're in good hands this morning, in the hands of God, not in my hands, but in His. And light has come into the world, and here's the beautiful thing. We are not condemned. Because we stood and looked at the light and said, Lord, if there's something here, I want it. Don't ever let the devil tell you you're condemned because you're not. I talked to a young boy in Buffalo just the other day. I told some of you people. I sat up, he could hardly wait to get over to my table, his face shining like the light of 40 suns, and he's just grinning and smiling at me like Jack Bell's, you know, famous quote on the mule-eating buckberry bushes. And you know why he grins? Because he doesn't want his hip to get the prickles. He just reaches out with his teeth and gets the buckberries. This kid sat there, his face lit up. Not licking you enough, just talking about. But there he said to me, Brother Bailey, he said, it sure is right. He said, the last few months, he said, my, he said, I don't have any condemnation. I don't have here. Now, he said, get this. He said, not that I'm a wonderful creature. He said, I'm not. He said, I know when I do wrong things. But he said, there's no condemnation. There's no fear. Because I know it's all in him. See, listen. That's what the light's all about. There is no condemnation if you come to the light. What are people trying to tell you? What have you been trying to tell by certain preachers around this area and certain other places that you're condemned if you don't do so and so? If you've come to the light, you're not condemned.
Amen.
I like what Brother Evan said. I don't know if I already quoted him on it or not. Maybe I already said it, but about the fact that you commit adultery, will pick you up and put you on your feet and dust you off. But you leave that word. Forget it. What was this here in 192 quotes on light?
Good.
Oh, my, that's wonderful. 192 quotes or more on light. And I'll bring you the light, the one that brother, oh, hey, half fast. Come on, get off your feet. Get up. Then we all go eat, right? All right, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we can be here as a happy group of people rejoicing in you, knowing, Lord, that we have come to the light. And coming to the light, Lord, God, means every single thing you said in that word. There is now no condemnation, because the deeds are not evil as though we're out there breaking people's necks and robbing banks and committing adultery and murdering everything else. But you said, Lord God, categorically, that man's deeds were evil, and that was Cain, because he was off the revelation. He wouldn't come to the light. Therefore, Lord, anything he did in any manner whatsoever was evil in your sight. Though he might scream the loudest and shout the most and praise the most and fast the most and give alms the most and do every other thing. Just what Jesus said, full of dead men's bones, sepulchres whited on the outside, but wrong on the inside because they never came to the light. Lord, we're so happy in this last hour we have risen from amongst the dead. We have heard the shout that came forth, that great message that gave us revelation and light. And Lord, today we stand here in it, not condemned. We're so grateful for the truth that's come our way and the truth that has set us free. And we are free indeed. And you said where that spirit is, there is liberty. And we're changed from the image of man to the image of God. And that's all we see today. We're tired of the old image. We don't see it anymore. We see that new image, which is Christ. We're so grateful for these things, Lord. Scripture coming out before us, the prophet's message coming out before us. We're so happy, Lord. And we know that that there are men around the world who share that happiness. There's a bride everywhere in this universe. One's here and one's there, Lord. And we know that because of this hour in which we live, we don't have one bit of preeminence. You get the glory, Lord, because we've said it from the very start. It is God who is his own interpreter, God who is his own messenger, God who is his own prophet, God revealing himself. And we are just the recipients thereof. We are so happy, Lord, today that it's all of grace. We understand it. And, Lord, there's not one thing of ourselves we rejoice in and boast in. But, Lord, in you we rejoice. Hallelujah. We're so glad for you, Lord. We are so happy for you, Lord, today. We are so thankful. Now, Heavenly Father, be with each one. If there's been any questions raised, we know it's here on tape what was said. I might not have said things too clear. But, Lord, we know that we can be come together again, ask questions, and look into things which are necessary for us to know in this hour. We thank you for that opportunity, Lord. Knit together by word in the holy bonds of the light, walking in the light, having fellowship, communion. We praise thee for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Wednesday, 7:30. We'll attempt to go into the various reasons why he is here. What is he doing? We'll coordinate some. I've got 11 written down just haphazardly, because it was just a very quick notation. But we'll start Wednesday night with going into it. And you that wonder when we're going to talk about church order, I got news for you. We're not going to talk about at least Labor Day. Then we enter into our labors. But today is a day of jubilee and resting. As far as we're concerned, we're just going to take it nice and easy. And we'll talk about how to do things in the church and this and that and what we're going to do. I want you to know one thing, though. I might as well make this abundantly clear. I have witnesses on various occasions. I stood in my backyard. And I said to my wife, and I said to Brian Kasurik, I said to Brother Evan, before anything ever came of this place here, I said, there's something just northeast of me. I don't know what it is. That's where I'm going to be, I believe. There's some kind of a move. I looked on my map. I got my map out. I looked at Foss Story because I knew there were some people up there. I said, no way I'll drive that far. I looked at the other place, and I said, well, maybe there's some names over here I can get from spoken word. But I'm going to tell you something. Draw a map with quadrants. You'll find this place exactly northeast of my house. You do what you want. I'm here. Now, Brother Evans will try to kick me up, but he ain't got no way to do it. Because God said I'm going to be here. Now, I'm going to be here. I'm not going to be down there. I'm going to be here. See, I've got one interest in the building. I'm interested in where God wants me. You know, I prayed and prayed before God. God, where do you want me? Now, I'm not saying I can't move out of here. I'm not saying I can't go someplace. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you the only leading I had was northeast. And this is northeast. You say, Brother Bill, that must mean miles. You've got to be kidding. Northeast is northeast. If it's 1 foot, 2 feet, or 20,000 miles. And it can't be 20,000 miles. You'd go another direction by that time. Right? You bet your life you're right. So it's got to be right here. Here's where I am, and here's where I stand. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the way the cookie crumbles. It's done crumbled. You're dismissed. All right. Start singing. Take your name.